out of this comes people pleasing. Say with me, people pleasing. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Let's get, because it's a long verse that I want to read through. And you're going to see how Saul fell into the trap of people pleasing. It says in 1 Samuel 15, let's read there on the note. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. Imagine, God is saying, I greatly regret that I promoted that person. That I set up Saul as a king. For he has turned back from me, following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13, this is important. I underlined the important parts. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I want you to listen to that verse. I underlined it there. You'll see a hypocritical way of Saul coming. He did not do the commandment of God. Yet, the first thing that comes out of his mouth to Samuel was like, oh, blessed are you. I've done the commandment of God. I'm so righteous. Okay? Verse 14. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Which means Saul was supposed to kill everyone, but he took off the best of their livestock for himself, saying he was going to offer it to God. Are you guys with him? Verse 15, and Saul said, so Saul answered him, he said, they, which is the people, have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people, say with the people, you're going to see how many times Saul makes reference to the people here, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He's trying to justify his mistake here. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? I ministered on a message on the anointing, on how to protect the anointing. And you see, when people become, when they lose sight of who they are, when they were still little in their own eyes, humility, the anointing remains on them. He was head of the tribes. Are you guys with me? But when he became big for himself, that's when he began to lose things. And he goes on, he says, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of God? He's saying, Saul, God told you exactly, do this, do this, do this. Why did you not obey the voice of God? You know, working with staff and with people for a long time, the worst thing, and those of you that have businesses will know, the worst thing that you can do is tell somebody something and they don't do it, or they think they know better and they try to do better, but it's a wrong quality in their heart. I'm not speaking of initiative. They think they know but better than you, and they try to do it. Saul here thought he knew better. God told him very straight, go to the Amalekites, kill every single one of them, utterly destroy them. But Saul thought, but wait, there's some people here and some things that we can take out, that we can spare. Are you guys with me? He thought he knew better than God. So listen. So he said, until they are consumed, verse 19, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Samuel said, why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's lying, he hasn't. Say with me, but the people. Listen to verse 21. Every time Saul is confronted with something, he doesn't take responsibility. He will say, but the people this. But the people ask this. His character was weak. Are you guys with me? Imagine, this was a man who was anointed as captain. And the Bible says that he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. He was capable. He had every ability. Yet he feared people. Listen. He said, I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion, everybody say through rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft. When I see somebody, when we as a church leadership and with the cell leaders, when we unfortunately deal with people that has a rebellious spirit in them, it is the same as a witch. Are you guys with me? They might as well go sacrifice a goat or something. Exactly the same. It's witchcraft. And stubbornness, people that are stubborn, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So this is what Samuel is saying to Saul. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Listen to this. Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. And so, verse 26, but Samuel said to Saul, listen to this. I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king of Israel. And Samuel turned around to go away. So Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. This is how desperate Saul became. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is a man that he should not relent. Verse 30, Then Saul said, I have sinned. Now listen to this. And I'll get into this as we go through the notes to break this down. He said, yet honor me now. Are you guys with me? The man just, the kingdom of God was removed from him. He was told how God regretted of making him king. Yet he says, listen, still honor me. Come with me and honor me, please. Before the elders of my people, so the people, and before Israel, everything that Saul, all that Saul wanted was to save face in front of the people. The only thing he wanted to do was please the people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. Next verse, verse 32. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. This is an Amalekite king. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother child be childless among women. And Samuel hacked him into pieces before the Lord. There's a good horror movie there. Then Samuel went to Ramah. And the verse goes on. You can see in verse 35 again, the Bible says that how the Lord regretted that he made Samuel king. One of the things that pleasing people does is, number one, it'll make God regret what he has given us. People pleasing, it is a dangerous trap. It is a disease, I wrote there. I said the Bible actually refers to it as a share in other translations, and something which is a snare and something that is disabling. Meaning when people fall in a people-pleasing trap, they are being disabled to walk with God anymore. But before we dwell on this topic, we need to provide a balance. As I said a bit earlier, having the desire to receive the approval from those around us is not wrong. In fact, everyone needs a certain amount of approval. There's nothing wrong with wanting your parents, your spouse, your boss, or your friends to love you, to like things about you, or to approve you. However, the desire shouldn't dominate our life. We aren't encouraging the extreme also to become a narcissist, as I said, or a sociopath, completely selfish and self-centered. This would destroy our relationships. But the Bible gives us a great balance on this, where he also commanded us to bring joy to other people, not to cause them to stumble, to love them, but not pleasing people. And God will test us. You know, one of the things, and what I'm sharing here as keys, this can help people in business, this can help you in your workplace, and it'll definitely help you with your identity. Are you guys with me? So let's go on. But just like all things in life, A good thing can easily be misused. This can be seen in our need for food, our need for sex, our need for approval, all which can easily be misused. So I want us to look quickly into six consequences, and we'll go through this, six consequences of the trap of people pleasing. And number one, say with me, it disables me. I know I wrote that it cripples our faith, but what I like more is it disables us. You'll see the scripture that'll get into it now. 1 Samuel 5:15-19. Samuel said to Saul, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down? Why were you disobedient? Which means that number one, it'll bring disobedience. It will cause rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. But listen, because Saul was infected by the disease to please, he allowed disobedience to come into his life. This disobedience eventually caused rebellion and stubbornness, which is the same as witchcraft and idolatry. This crippled his faith in God. When pleasing others become a greater priority than pleasing God, it stunts our growth for our relationship with God. When God is big in our lives, the opinion of others have less power. Their influence is somewhat diminished when God is our primary focus. Listen, when Jeremiah chapter number 1, God said to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, go, I will send you to the nations. And as what young as what you are, he said, do not despise your youth, but do not be dismayed by their faces. Are you guys with me? To look at some people's faces while preaching is very discouraging. And that's why God said that to Jeremiah. You can preach to a dead crowd and people just, they will look away like this. And if you're not secure in who you are or have an identity, the devil will take you out right there. You know, listen, say with me, identity. This is, identity is the opposite. This is the thing that'll help us overcome people pleasing. People pleasing comes from a root of rejection and performance orientated as children. And this is a whole nother subject to get into. We might do it next year or something like that with, we're doing maybe another marriage seminar this year, but we're gonna do something with parental, with parents and how to raise children properly. And we'll get professional people in for that. But there's one area that parents mess up a lot. So we call performance-based orientation. They cause their children to be raised up in a performance. Meaning, parents will say, speaking to their daughters, saying, my child, if you do that, mommy doesn't love you. And you'll be amazed how many people are doing that. What is built into the child is that now if the child performs, there's love. But if the child does not perform, there's not love. Or if the child performs, there's acceptance. So when they get grown up, that is how their relationship with God begins to be. Now they feel they need to perform to earn God's love. Or they need to perform to other people to earn their approval. And we call it approval addiction. Are you guys with me? Addicted to people's approval. So we'll get into that. So John 5:44 says, how can you believe in me? Jesus is saying, when you seek and receive glory and approval from another, and yet you do not seek the glory and approval which comes from the one and only God. Our faith is crippled when we seek the approval of man instead of God. Proverbs 29, I love this verse. It says, the fear of man, the fear of human opinion disables. Say with me, disables. Listen, opinion is like a belly button. Everybody has them. But when we have this identity problem, we are listening to everybody's opinion, and we are at that time and moment when we do that, we are disqualified from hearing God's voice. I told you there's two things that God will not, that will hinder the voice of God. First of all, I shared it a few weeks ago, is anxiety. So with anxiety. The Bible says that the sower threw seed on different grounds, and one of the grounds there were weeds in. And as this the seed began to grow, the wheat and the tares began to choke it. And the explanation of that parable says that Jesus is explaining, and he says this represents the cares and the anxieties of this world that chokes the voice of God out of your life. When people operate in anxiety, the voice of God is choked. Are you guys with me? Listen, anxiety comes from a Greek word called agnak, which was the name of a Greek god that was over a certain city. But he was also over, how can I say this? He was over a certain tribe that put people into slavery. He was over the slavery business. And the word agnak, where we get anxiety from, it means throat and to be choked. Are you guys with me? Many people are crippled and the voice of God is choked in their lives because of anxiety. Anxiety is a spirit. The Bible says, for he has not given us, it's a bit softer. The anxiety says, he has not given us, the Bible says, a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That word fear, the Greek word speaks of anxiety. Are you guys with me? When people have anxiety, I know it is a spirit that is grabbing hold of them. Anyway, you guys sound soft. Let's go to the next one. The second consequence of the trap, it causes us to fall into sin. 1 Samuel 15 verse 30 said, then Saul said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of the people and before Israel. If you're honest with yourself, you will easily be able to think of multiple times in your life where you fall into sin as a result of being concerned by the opinions of others. Perhaps when you were in your teenage years, it looked a bit more obvious. As you grow up, it becomes a lot more subtle. Yet the issue remains. We are driven by the desire to please. I call it the disease to please, approval addiction. And this often results in us doing things we shouldn't be doing. Let's look at some scripture examples in the scriptures. Before Joseph was sold into slavery, one of his brothers named Reuben tried to defend him, but eventually gave in. Reuben gave in to peer pressure, that is people pleasing. When questioned by the crowds, Peter, the closest disciple to Jesus, denied ever knowing him. He wanted to please the people. Are you guys with me? Pilate admitting to fault, to finding no fault in Jesus, yet to please the crowds, Pilate said, I'll hand Jesus over to them for crucifixion. So as we just read now, Saul received a word from Samuel to eliminate the idolaters in the land. Saul disobeyed in order to please the people. When God sees that we want to please people, he sees it as idolatry and we're no longer serving him. When I have idolatry, it means I'm serving and bowing to another god. Are you guys with me? People pleasing in its root sense is idolatry. When God sees that I'm pleasing people, he knows I'm not fearing him. In what areas of your life, go on here with the notes, are you disobeying God? Which areas in your life are you displeasing to him? What are you doing to win the approval of man or to avoid the rejection of those around you? Point number three, you can miss the call of God. So the call of God. We see that when Samuel was walking away, Saul grabbed the edge of his garment and it tore a piece off. And Samuel turned around to him and said, from this day, the kingdom of God has been torn away from you. When we get into a place of approval addiction, we lose our identity completely. You know, I've worked with many young people and I will sometimes see a lack of identity because they're trying to please this one, please that one. Always concerned with what this one is thinking or what other people are thinking. And it's an approval addiction. If you say to, I think it was a guy wrote a book, Dale Carnegie wrote a book, How to Influence People and Win Friends. Now, actually, if you study that whole book, it's a little bit skewed because he actually makes you try to think on how to please people. If you actually read the book. But he said something interesting. He said, it's one of the most famous books, influential books. He said one thing. He said, when you sit with someone in front of them, every person has a sticker on their head, a label on their head, saying, I want to be liked. So when you sit with somebody, the only thing that person want to hear is they want to be liked. And then obviously he tells you how to win people like that, but that's called people pleasing. But that's the weakness that we have. Are you guys with me? Let's go to point number three. So we can miss the call of God. I shared how Saul grabbed Samuel's garment and tore it. Galatians 1 verse 10, the second verse there. He says, Paul is saying, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of God. Are you guys with me? He's saying, listen, if I was still pleasing man, still wanting to seek the approval of man, I am disqualified from being a servant of Christ. This scripture is quite clear on the seriousness of people pleasing in the eyes of God. Paul goes as far as to say that people pleasers cannot be a servant of Christ. They can lose the call of God in their life, and like Saul, the kingdom can be torn from them. How can I focus on what God has created me to be if I'm consumed with the opinions of others all the time? I was, I meet a lot of pastors and preaching everywhere. I've ministered in a lot of churches for the last few years, hundreds of churches we've ministered in. And I remember going to some churches and they'll tell you, no, you must dress like this. One church told me, I'm not allowed to wear jeans or anything. I must wear, don't have to wear a suit, but I must just wear chinos or I don't know what, and decent shoes and a collared shirt. I said, why? They said, no, Leon, the people, you know, they're not used to if you're going to dress like that. You're bound. And you'll never be able to set those people free. Are you guys with me? Well, let me read the verse. Sorry, I want to read the verse before that. Point number four. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. Paul is saying, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God and not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Jesus, the Bible says that the Pharisees were saying about Jesus and John the Baptist. They'd said to John the Baptist that he has a demon. And then they would look at Jesus and said, but Jesus is a drunkard and a wine bibber. Are you guys with me? Which means that John the Baptist was in the wilderness, secluded, came and prophesied, and they said he has a demon. Jesus spent time with the sinners, was friends with a lot of people, with prostitutes, sitting in the house of tax collectors, and yet they said that he is a drunkard and a wine bibber. And what that verse explains is it doesn't matter what you do or who you become, people will not everybody will be pleased with you. Are you guys with me? You can never please everybody. You can never. If you please one person, you'll displease another. So let's go to point four, and I want to get through these points. It's really good before the time is over. Number four, people pleasers become hypocrites. Say with me, hypocrites. It says, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the God, of the Lord. Saul was putting a mask on and being a hypocrite. Are you guys with me? It's like people coming to me and say, oh, Pastor Leon, I've prayed so many hours today. And actually, and when they didn't. So Saul didn't perform the commandment of the Lord. He messed up. He never did what God told him to do. But he was acting. He was as a hypocrite. Verse 30, it says, then Saul said, I have sinned. Even though I've sinned and I've messed up, please honor me now, just before my elders and before the people and before Israel. He wanted to be a hypocrite. He didn't want them to see the real him. Are you guys with me? Listen. Let's go on here. It says, we see how Saul was playing the hypocrite. He acted as he was all spiritual, boasting that he performed the commandment of the Lord. We see even further how even though the kingdom was torn from him, he still wanted to go show face in front of the people and pretend. When hypocrisy invades our lives, we begin to wear masks. We start to behave like chameleons. We adapt into every environment. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypokritos, which means an actor. When you study this word, it describes an actor or a stage player which would interchange their masks between various scenes. How many of you have seen the sign for a drama? For drama, they would have those two masks. Is that right? Theater or drama. That word and that name, that symbol came from the word hypocrite, the history of it. So it's somebody that can put one mask on here, then they go home, they put another mask on, they come to church, they act holy, they get home, they swear, they beat up their husband or their wife. We've heard some people beat up their husbands. And they come to church and they talk different, they walk different, they act different. When worship is on, they look all holy. It's different masks. Are you guys with me? I promise you, as the prophetic in this church, the mask will come down. I will offend you, or somebody up here will offend you. Listen, a ministry that doesn't offend you is not of God. So hypocrites. So this is what happens with people pleasing. You pretend in order to fit in. You begin to interchange between various masks, dependent on the group of people you're surrounded by, simply to avoid rejection. Luke 16, verse 15, it says, but Jesus told them, you're always making yourselves look good, but God sees what is in your heart. The fear of disapproval causes us to compromise things that are most important. This is why many people behave in a way that's socially acceptable rather than what is true. Integrity is far more important than popularity. Listen to 2 Corinthians. It says, you brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval. Point five. You are unable to witness to others. Listen, it silences our ability, because when I'm fake, I would want to please somebody. I will have no courage to witness to them. In fact, if you look at the book of Revelations, where it names and points out the sins and those who will go into the lake of fire, it's amazing that on the first on the list is those who did not have faith, the unbelieving. Are you guys with me? Which actually means they didn't have courage to stand up in the day of adversity. They didn't have courage to speak up and say what they stand for. Anyway, because, let's read here John 9. I want to get to these verses. John 9 verse 18, it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning Jesus, that he had been blind, concerning this person who Jesus healed, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. Are you guys with me? They did not want to say it was Jesus who healed him. They were fearing him. There was another man by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. The Bible says he came by night looking for Jesus. Are you guys with me? They came by night. Why? He came by night because he didn't want people to see him. He was quite of a high status. And just ignore the guys, they're just going out to assist with the parking. So they said they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So here are two examples where it took place in the New Testament. 7 verse 13, no one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the elders. John 12, it says many people, including leaders, believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't talk about it publicly out of fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. They loved human approval more than they loved the approval of God. Listen, just kind of like there are churches and there's a movement that is coming in that we call the seeker-sensitive move. Are you guys with me? They will tell you, we don't lay hands, we don't move in the gifts, we don't prophesy, we don't pray in tongues or sing in tongues. And these are charismatic churches on TBN. They say, why? Because it might offend a new visitor that's coming in. Listen, the Holy Spirit offending, and it will only offend. He will only offend a religious person, and they must be offended. The Bible says that when you pray in tongues and when you prophesy, the unbeliever will come into your midst and they'll fall on their knees and say, surely God is in this place. Now we're getting to a place where we're saying, we don't want to do these things. We want to limit the Holy Ghost. And listen, those churches, I don't know. Jesus said, if you are afraid to speak of me and speak of my name in front of others, I will not speak of your name in front of the Father. And there's a movement that comes in where the churches holds the Holy Ghost away from people. Are you guys with me? When we lay hands on people here in the church, I know we don't do a lot in the morning because of teaching, but at the evening we lay hands. There's power in the laying on of hands. There's transference. There's importation. There's activation of a gift. The Bible says that when Paul says, I have come to impart a gift to you so that you may be established. When we lay hands and we give, and there's gifts that goes into people's lives, it's because so that they can be established. Are you guys with me? So we must never neglect the laying on of hands. Listen, point number 6, the love of approval will always cause a person to be on the defensive. I'm not going to go read through that. I'm sure you can understand that out of your own. I'll go through the other points quickly, and you have the notes to take home. But people that are people pleasers, when you correct them, they go on the defensive. How many times when I would rebuke someone out of love or confront them, they always say, but this one, but that one. Or they begin to justify and defend. Are you guys with me? Let me see. I wanted to... Let's go to five keys, and I'll just go through the main things and then we'll close. I don't want to take too much time. We got a second service. So five truths that can save us from the trap of people pleasing. Point number one, happiness is not reliant on people's approval. Are you guys with me? John 5, you can just jump the two paragraphs there. Let me read the verse. It says a lot. John 5 verse 41, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me, Jesus is saying. For as I know so well, you don't have God's love within you. Point number two, short-term thinking versus long-term thinking. People that want to be pleased by others and have acceptance is because of short-term thinking. 1 John 2 verse 12, it says, the world and everything in it that people desire is passing away, but those who do the will of God will live forever. You know, when people come into a room, and I had this spirit of rejection on my life when I just got saved. I remember I had so much rejection. When I would walk into a room and there would be people there, I would constantly think in my thoughts or my mind, they're talking about me. And I would have feelings of being on the outside looking in. We had people accusing us here in the church saying, you know, there's a core leadership and we feel like we can't get in. We feel rejected. Listen, there's no, what do you mean core leadership? We're raising up leaders as much as we can. As we need so many leaders. But if you're battling with rejection, and one of the main things of rejection is you will feel that you're on the outside looking in and you are left out and there's thoughts of they saying this, they saying that. It's a spirit of rejection. It's a stronghold. Are you guys with me? It's when it's a stronghold, and we haven't taught much on it yet. It is a stronghold that the enemy builds. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, which the enemy builds in your mind. That the enemy, that the devil now begins to think through that for you. Which means that as soon as I get into a situation, if I battle with rejection and I get into a situation, maybe there's a lot of people and that many of them have identity, and I begin to feel rejected. Now the enemy begins to think through that for me. And my actions is no longer my own. Are you guys with me? That's why you do weird things and people do strange things, because they have strongholds in their minds. So point number three there, listen. If God couldn't please everyone, how can I? Luke 6 verse 26 says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. I remember when I was going through ministry, there were two people. It was Pastor Mark and another man that really mentored me, Pastor Donnie Slubbert. And I would have a bad meeting, or people would speak against us, leaders, ministers, and they would always quote this verse. They say, Leon, if everybody is speaking good of you, you're doing something wrong. But if everybody is speaking bad of you, there must be something that you're doing right. For he says, woe unto you, be careful if men speak well of you. 6 verse 26, in another translation, it says this, there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were proved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. So point number four, how to overcome the trap. You're accountable for your call. Say with me, say, I have a call inside of me. I wish every person that's sitting on this chair can understand that every person has a call of God. And that call is directly related to how to advance the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? So listen, Romans 14 verse 12 there. The Bible says, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And I shared with you, if you've been in our church for long, that you have the white throne judgment and you have the bema seat judgment. There are two judgment seats. As believers, we will go to the bema seat judgment. Is that correct? Yeah, bema seat judgment. Unbelievers will go to the white throne. Unbelievers will be judged for the fact that they don't have Christ. Are you guys with me? Believers will not be judged for that. Unbelievers will be judged for their sins. Believers, as us, we go to a bema seat judgment seat, which you call the bema seat judgment throne. We are being judged not for our sins, but for our works. Not works as in good works can get him into heaven, but have I fulfilled the call of God upon my life? If I haven't, the Bible says I'll still go into heaven, but a fire will burn me that just myself is left. Everything is burned around me. Are you guys with me? Anyway, we'll get into the revelation thing on a greater level. But that is, God is going to judge me. Have I fulfilled the call? Have I done what He's called me to do? I'll get into heaven, but just not a lot of rewards. So Luke 9 verse 26 says, Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in other words, you're a people pleaser, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of him when I come in my glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. People pleasers are addicts. They are approval addicts. Are you guys with me? Last point, let's close with this. God didn't create you to be a copy of someone else. And let me just amplify. I know we speak about imitation. And Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitation is true when there's importation. Are you guys with me? But imitation without importation becomes fake. When there's no relationship and I just try to be like this one, try to be like that one, try to be like this one, I lose my own identity. So let me read you. You were created uniquely. Nobody else has your fingerprints. Nobody else has your exact calling. The greatest joy comes from finding our identity, walking in that. You were born for a purpose and you'll never feel completely fulfilled until you begin to walk in that purpose. Let go of the pressures of becoming someone else and walk in what God is for you. T.D. Jakes said this one thing that made me laugh. He said, God wants to bless every person, but people have such lack of identity. The one day they're this person, the other day they're this one, and God is like, but I wanted to bless that one, but now I can't find that one as people keep changing their identity. Say with him, no more masks. Say, no more people pleasing. Just stand your feet, wherever, just stand your feet. Let's close our eyes, let's pray. Father, I pray that every person, that you will remove masks, that you'll cause us to be true and sincere, honorable and unique, exactly who you created us to be genuine. As the Bible says that Timothy had genuine faith, which means that it was faith that was tried. He was genuine, he was true, he was real. I pray that every trap and bondage of pleasing people will be removed from people in this place. Those under the sound of ECC will have an identity of who they are in Christ, will have an identity of sonship. As you said, as the Father said to the Son, that now you are my beloved Son, and now I am pleased. May every person here hear the Father's voice to know that you are pleased, that every spirit of rejection, every bondage and chain of rejection will be broken this night. Every pain and hurt and damage of rejection, abuse in the childhood, pain in the childhood, unforgiveness, a rejection, abandonment, whatever it might be. I pray that you will adopt this people right now, and you'll remove every hypocritical mask, every people-pleasing mask, and remove us out of the trap to please others, but to only please you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Give him a praise offering, church. Thank you.